So your phone rings, probably like right when you're about to sit down to have dinner, and this person is asking you to take this short survey. It's only going to take a few minutes, which is a total lie, but you are a good person, so you don't hang up.
And then they start asking you all these questions about whether you're likely to vote and which way you lean and whether you strongly agree or just regular agree about this thing that some senator said at some point.
You don't really follow all the news as much as you should, but you try to give the best answers you can. And after they're done, they give you this canned thank you, you hang up, and you hope that you didn't sound like a total chump.
Congratulations. You just made some news. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Laurel White.
And I'm Sean Johnson. Let's talk about polls.
So if you're as cool as we are, you might already know that this week was a Marquette University Law School poll week. They are the big kids on the block here in Wisconsin in terms of political public opinion polling. And all of the cool political journos like us and other people on Twitter get really, really psyched about these polls that come out periodically, usually on Wednesdays. And we had one this week. Do you guys want to talk about what we learned from this poll real quick? Quick and dirty. What's the story we can take from this poll?
The highlights. Well, I just want to say before I share the numbers that the extent to which we anticipate this poll is just kind of ridiculous. I actually caught myself tweeting yesterday, like, T-minus 2.5 hours, guys. Are you ready? It's sort of like, it's like a very sad Christmas for political reporters, I think. It's not a sad Christmas. It's a great Christmas. I love it. I love these numbers.
It comes
it's
at
so
this
fun.
Point, now that like election season is really ramping up, it
all
comes like every 3 weeks
right.
or something.
Yeah, Laurel was covering the poll for us yesterday, and I was up in a legislative hearing, and thanks to the beautiful Marquette live stream, you can kind of multitask and see what pollster Charles Franklin is talking about with Mike Gushee, while at the same time paying attention to serious issues at the state capitol.
Dude, that's a whole nother podcast episode, though.
We'll save that one.
We'll stick to the Marquette numbers. So the big takeaway, I think, from this poll, Charles Franklin, the poll director, said that there weren't a lot of big changes from the last one. Hillary Clinton's lead, according to these new numbers, has slimmed just ever so slightly. She just has a 2-point lead over Donald Trump right now. Last month, when we got the numbers 3 weeks ago, it was a 3-point lead. It's worth mentioning, though, that that is still very, very much within the margin of error. There's actually an 8-point spread for the margin of error. So
really nobody knows anything.
Right. It's kind of existential. What do we know? But it gives us kind of the illusion that we're keeping track of what's going on in this race. And before the poll comes out, they say like, oh, remember what happened in the last 3 weeks. We've got the basket of deplorables. We've got X, we've got Y. You know, there
pneumonia,
wasn't quite as
pneumonia
much.
Pneumonia gate and Skittles gate.
Yes, Skittles, coughing. So, I think we try to look at these numbers and say, okay, well, the cough may have done this, but really it's like, oh, it's just a little bit, just such a little change. It could be nothing.
So we have the presidential race, which shows an increasingly, or, you know, within the margin of error, very tight race between Clinton and Trump. And then what about on the Senate side between Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson?
Yeah. Do you want to take Russ and Ron, Sean?
I mean, Russ Feingold continues to be ahead is the story that we've told in poll after poll. And in this poll, he stretched out his lead a little bit more. It was, 7 points?
I think it's 6 points.
Six or seven points.
It was, I think it's 40.
Points. 47, 41 amongst likely voters.
Right.
So that's, on my notebook right here.
So it's bigger.
Yeah, and so I think that's, it's interesting that I think we looked at this election season after Trump won the nomination, and there were a lot of Republicans specifically thinking, man, he is going to sink the rest of our ticket. And we still don't know what's going to happen in November and how Trump being at the top of the ticket is going to affect races down the ballot. But a lot of the times it was framed as Trump is going to sink the rest of our ticket, including Ron Johnson. He's going to bring Ron Johnson down. And here you have a poll where Donald Trump looks like he's got a better shot of winning Wisconsin's electoral votes.
Carrying the state.
Than Ron Johnson has.
Ron Johnson still hasn't led,
Exactly.
a long, long. He hasn't led at all, has he?
No, he has I don't think he's ever led in this poll.
I've seen no polls, even when his own super PAC or the super PAC that supports him put out a poll. They showed it as a close race, but they didn't say he was ahead. So there's that. That's the situation he finds himself in with less than 2 months to go before the election. And beyond that, there's a lot of people who don't know who he is. And despite all the attacks being lobbed at Russ Feingold, Feingold's favorability ratings are actually still above water. You know, I mean, they're
what, like at 50% or so?
Yeah, I mean, they go down during a campaign, but he's got a favorable rating right now of 48%. Compare that to 35% for Ron Johnson, and unfavorable of 39% for Johnson. That's a tough situation for Johnson to be in and make up that ground with less than 2 months to go.
Well, and the other thing that's kind of interesting that ties in with that is that another poll question this time around was, does Russ Feingold, does Ron Johnson care about somebody like me?
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers for Russ Feingold were substantially higher than Ron Johnson. I think Russ's numbers were 50%
right.
of people said that he cares about someone like me, and Ron Johnson's were
37. 30,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a big deficit for Johnson to try to make up, I think, in the next couple months.
Yeah, and that was something that they started tracking in the 2012 Senate race, because it was an issue that one of the campaigns was really hammering home.
Mm-hmm.
And the candidate who ended up on the losing side of that metric, Tommy Thompson, who was running against Tammy Baldwin, lost in November.
So you nerded out a little bit too beforehand and printed out some stuff about 2012 at this point in the race in terms of the presidential election,
yeah.
right, is what you were looking at.
Yeah, because, again, when people looked at this election from a distance, Republicans sort of feared what could happen with Trump at the top of the ticket. Democrats looked at it as an opportunity to potentially, boy, this could be a wave year for us. But it's close between Trump and Hillary Clinton. Where was it in 2012? When
I don't know. Let's go back in time.
Let's go back in time.
Check the archives.
I mean, Barack Obama was just way ahead. And you had a head-to-head matchup for president at the same time period in the Marquette poll from 2012. It was Obama 54, Romney 39. So it wasn't even close.
Now, did Obama end up winning by that large of a margin?
By that margin, he did not,
okay.
No. I didn't go back and get that number. But
time to hop back in the time machine, man.
Yeah. This is live, right? There's no way
yeah,
we could go back.
Totally live.
Here's where we'll cut the recording. I'll go back, get that number, and then we'll plug it in. Okay, through the magic of audio editing, we can tell you that in November of 2012, Barack Obama carried Wisconsin with 53% of the vote to Mitt Romney's 46%.
That's so interesting, though, because people do say that really polls up until this point don't matter all that much because the general public is just now starting to key into the race. We're down to the last month and a half, something like that. People are really going to start paying attention, maybe changing their mind, maybe solidifying their choice. And the presidential debates start next week.
Yeah.
Our first one is on Monday.
It feels like those are going to be a big deal this year. They were a big deal in 2012, actually. Obama kind of tanked in the first one, and there was an opening suddenly for Romney. You noticed it in polls everywhere. It was tightening. And then, you know, the president actually, obviously, we're talking about President Obama today.
He, like, got back in fighting shape. And
he did,
there
right,
was something yeah. about binders full of women.
Was that post-first debate?
I think that was second debate. I think
okay.
that was like CNN, like town hall. We're sitting on stools on red carpet, like with microphones all nonchalant.
Yeah,
and then
casual.
Romney's like, I got binders full of women. I know all about women.
Oh, guys, it's just beginning. Think about all of the political discussions, binders full of women, things like that, that happened last time around. After this stage in the race, we have all of these debates ahead of us. We have all of this excitement. And Charles Franklin did mention that yesterday. He said, you know, he mentioned the Romney bump after the first debate. And he said, you know, I'm really anxious to see what happens to these numbers after the first debates. So
and then, I mean, everybody's looking at these debates because Donald Trump's such a wild card in a debate setting. You look at how he won the Republican nomination, and he would say stuff in debates, and, you know, pundits would look at it afterward and say, well, he's obviously done. Like,
yeah,
you know,
like every single time.
He went after the entire Bush family. And, like, you know, he's floating conspiracy theories out during debates, and he's done. He's done. And he wasn't, you know.
He's definitely not done.
It worked great in that environment of the Republican primary when you had a divided race. And that was sort of his strength. So can he now turn it around with two candidates on stage and appeal to that general election audience?
And both look presidential, but also, like, keep throwing out those zingers that he's come to rely on at this point.
I'm not sure their styles could be any more different. Could you think of two candidates that are going to come to their respective podiums for those debates and be more different? Because the way that I understand Hillary Clinton is that she's very, you know, calculated, thoughtful. She's got her answers set. She's had the answers for quite a while. You know, she's going to roll out what's expected. And we have no idea what Donald Trump is going to do. So it's just that juxtaposition to me is really
interesting. Are we talking like, you know, like temporally equal candidates? Because what if you got like Abraham Lincoln up there versus like Walter Mondale?
Okay, well, that might be a little bit. That's interesting, though. What would the craziest debate that you could imagine between two presidential candidates in all of history? I don't know. I think this would be up there. Maybe I'm biased.
So going back to the actual polls, can you talk a little bit about what the deal is with registered voters versus likely voters? Because way more people, like 80% of people, say, yeah, I'm likely to vote when they get one of these survey phone calls. But that's way high compared to the percentage of people who actually show up on election day to vote.
Yeah, so the way Marquette chooses, I mean, identifies these voters is they ask. They call these numbers. They say, are you likely to vote? And if you say, I'm going to vote, I'm definitely going to vote, you're a likely voter. That's been a critique of the poll from some Democrats who don't like it, this election cycle, is that if you want to have a sample of likely voters, you go off a voter list, and then you talk to those people.
So people who have like a long-term history of having actually voted in the past, because they love their country, and they do, like,
consistent,
you know,
voting is the best indicator of future voting.
Yeah,
consistent pass vote. You know what I mean.
But does that in this weird election cycle, though, you could also argue that this misses out on people who, like, you know, haven't cared about politics in the past.
Yeah.
But like got super into Bernie Sanders
or
super really into Donald Trump now because he tells it like it is and he gets me. Nobody else has in the past.
Right, and so that's the argument that Charles Franklin, the Marquette pollster, makes for doing it the way he does. And he says he's not like religious about it, that he says there's an obvious benefit to campaigns going off of a voter list because you can also use those polls to see, for example, you know, what people are thinking in a state Senate race. If you know where they live, you know who you're calling and their history, that's more valuable to you as a campaign. But if you're in an academic exercise, as Marquette is, and you want to take in
is,
this
is
universe
that what
of
this
new
is?
Voters.
Is this an academic exercise?
I think
it
seems,
it's
like
the amount of like cheerleading and stuff on Twitter.
It's more
Twitter.
Of a sporting event, I think.
Yeah, it's
really
like the Super Bowl of Wisconsin politics journalists.
I picture it as like
every 3 weeks.
Just a big scoreboard in the middle. And elections aren't actually decided by the one vote that each person casts on or leading up to election day. It feels like when you watch the Marquette poll that there's two teams sort of going at it on the field and you're watching the score. That is not the case, though.
Yeah. Everything that Sean just said is actually just not true.
Right. I was just saying that's how it feels. But that's not it. You know, it's just a snapshot in time of what people who say they're going to vote are thinking right now.
John Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
And this week we talked about polls.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you're looking for more episodes or to subscribe, you can find us on iTunes, where you can also rate and review the show. We are on Google Play and at WPR.org/politics.